special privilege I have to introduce Dr. Regan Moore from the University of California, San Diego, and to present the panel session that deals with the elements of storage systems and storage technologies. And in that context as well, what I would like to draw your attention to is for those of you that are interested in the areas of storage systems and technologies, is also the aspect that while this is simply as a 90-minute introduction into some of the active areas of research, one of the things that would potentially be an extended follow-up of areas of synergistic research and presentations as the annual IEEE Mass Storage Conference, which is one of the annual international showcases for research. This is not a plug, but is also the pieces that go with, if you find some of these presentations of continuing interest to you, is what we will do is post the agenda and post the developments in that professional society publications, including for those of you that are interested, is we have an advanced copy of the agenda for this year's conference will be available at the desk outside. So in the context of the professional interest, the academic community and the research community, these are additional resources that are available not just to you but to anybody who's interested in storage technologies. So with that, let me introduce Dr. Regan Moore from the University of California, San Diego.
We're going to give a short panel, approximately four people talking 10 to 15 minutes each, plus an invited presentation by Martin Sweeney. I'm going to start this off by talking about what we wanted to achieve within this panel. We wanted to understand what are the implications of managing massive amounts of data from end-to-end performance. So we started with a short presentation I'll give on automating management policies, basically a policy-driven data management system that was referred to this morning. We look at the issue of generating massive amounts of data on the next petascale computer. Michelle Butler will give us information about that. We look at the issue of high-performance disk caches, how to move data as rapidly as possible into a disk cache to overcome I/O limits. Presentation will be given by Paul Nowosinski. And then we'll look at academic research activities for search and indexing beyond the petabyte scale given by Ethan Miller. We're going to try to hold each of our presentations to 10 to 15 minutes and hope to have on the order of half an hour for discussion at the end of these presentations. I'm going to discuss the issue of automating management policies. We observed that when collections approached the petabyte scale and the hundreds of millions of files, that management tasks become onerous. A system administrator can spend all of their time responding to problems, but they're doing very standard techniques to correct the issues that occur. And the question is whether the data management system can identify problems and implement recovery mechanisms and basically automate many of the administrative tasks. When we do this, we want to be able to both automate administrative commands, automate validation of assertions about the data, and then automate the issues of distribution, replication, and transport of the data within the environment. We can look at the issue from the perspective of a scientific data lifecycle. We observe the following types of use of massive collections. We have many groups that are building shared collections that are used within a project to support collaborative research. These shared collections right now are on the order of hundreds of terabytes to petabytes in scale, but we expect to see them on the scale of LSST, the Large Synoptic Survey Telescope, at 150 petabytes. The technology that enables the formation of shared collections out of distributed data are data grids, and there are multiple examples of those in production use. Given that you have successfully built a project and done the collaborative research, the next level is publication of that data in digital libraries. So we can't just focus on the management of data within a data grid. We have to include the digital library discovery, browsing, publication capabilities. Given that data has been published, we then have the opportunity to turn those data into reference collections that are used in support of the entire discipline and used in education. These reference collections then are the basis on which future research is conducted. They comprise the data sets on which comparisons are made to determine if new data or new theories give a better interpretation. And the reference collections are typically managed in preservation environments. So we're linking data grids, digital libraries, preservation environments now as part of the scientific data lifecycle. And the data is of no use unless we can actually derive analyses, active participation in the use of the data from students, and build an education process on top of these reference collections. So in the long run, we're interested in how to take data from an initial project all the way into use within academia in support of education. Each time we go through one of those phase changes, we go through a new socialization process. When we assembled that original shared collection, there was agreement among the members of the collaboration on the purpose for building the shared collection, the properties that shared collection would have. Each time when we publish the data, we increase our community to a broader community and new standards under which the data can be published. When we build the reference collections, we have to involve the entire discipline. Again, we broaden the criteria under which that data need to be characterized. We have to show that they're authoritative, they're complete, they're internally self-consistent, etc. So at each phase of this cycle, life cycle for scientific data, we need a consensus that's built across a broader community. The purpose under which we're assembling these large collections then changes over time. We want to be able to track the set of assertions that are being made about each shared collection and how they evolve. So the approach we're taking with policy-driven data management is exemplified here in the IRODS Integrated Rule-Oriented Data System. This is open-source software that's available today. We can look at this from two perspectives. If we start at the bottom, we have storage systems in which the data sits. We want to be able to manipulate the data within those storage systems, especially for low-complexity operations. The number of operations we want to perform is small compared to the size of the data. And that's much more efficient to do at the storage system than to try to move the entire data to some other compute platform. In order to control the execution of these microservices, then we need a rule set, the criteria under which those microservices can be executed or chained together as server-side workflows. Those rules need to be stored in a rule engine. Every time we execute a microservice, we generate state information. That state information is managed in a database. So now we have a low-level picture of distributed storage environments. There are storage systems in front of which there's a server which is executing these microservices, talking the protocol of the local storage environment. There's a rule engine which controls the execution of the policies directly at the remote storage location. There's a database somewhere which is managing the persistent state information. We can also look at this issue from the top down. There was a purpose for the original creation of the shared collection, and that purpose is normally characterized as a set of assessment criteria. We want to be able to validate that the collection we've assembled continues to meet the purpose under which we decided to organize it. Those assessment criteria are enforced through management policies. The management policies, in turn, control the execution of the management procedures within the distributed environment. And a policy-driven data management system then maps the management procedures to sets of microservices, maps the management policies to sets of rules that control the execution of the microservices, and maps the assessment criteria to queries on the persistent state information. The reason we have to do this, put this level of middleware between the original purpose for that creation of the collection and the remote storage systems, is that the storage systems are very primitive. They know POSIX.IO, open, close, read, write, seek, stat, sync, whereas the management procedure could be verify that all of the required metadata for a particular file is present, manage a retention and disposition policy. If the data has been here more than a year, it has to be migrated to a given location. Manage access controls such as human subject approval flags. And we needed these microservices and rules as an intermediate level to map from the management functions that are needed to actually control the shared collection to the capabilities that are being provided by the physical infrastructure. The integrated rule-oriented data system does this. It supports the execution of server-side workflows that are executed under rules. It manages the persistent state. You can derive a rule that executes periodically, issuing queries on that persistent state to verify that the assessment criteria are still being met. So our rule-based data management system now is bringing policy execution directly into the distributed data management environment. You can enforce policies related to retention and disposition, Sarbanes-Oxley, to integrity, authenticity, chain of custody required for preservation, to trustworthiness assessment criteria, to enforcement of the set of descriptive metadata that should be present when the data is in the digital library, to the enforcement of time-dependent access controls. So when we look at this, then, we would like the data management environment to take the large amounts of distributed data, organize it into the shared collection, enforce these management policies, and automate the multiple administrative functions that we normally would have to apply to the data to check that it's still good, that it hasn't been corrupted, etc. We would like to turn that assessment into a theory of data management. In the past, any assertion that was made about data that was being managed within your environment depended upon verbal statements by a system administrator saying, yes, I did run that cron job and we did verify the data was still maintained integrity. We would like to take those assessment criteria, turn them into rules that the data management system is enforcing, demonstrate that the operations that are controlled by those rules are internally self-consistent and complete. Anything that the operations do within this environment is recorded, generates state information that can be queried, etc. And then demonstrate that the data management environment maintains the completeness, consistency, and closure properties required to show that the system is provably correct. We would like to validate that the data management environment meets our assessment criteria and use those to drive the actual distributed management of data that's being used for research and education elsewhere. So for more information on this topic, there is a wiki, irods.sdsc.edu. It describes open source software that implements these capabilities. This software is being integrated with groups, technology in the digital library world, in the preservation world, in the real-time sensor world, etc. So the goal is generic infrastructure that allows you to implement those management policies required for your particular data management application.